Thomas and JJ. Bell's work in the 1870s was the start of a great outpouring of new discoveries. A proconsul from the Roman Empire, suddenly transported to the muddy swampland of the American settlement of Fort Dearborn in the year 1850 AD, a little before Bell's work, would not have been especially surprised at what he found. There are horse-drawn vehicles and wooden houses, and candles or oil lamps to hold back the night. The few telegraphs that might be found in big cities had scarcely changed the quality of daily life. But if that proconsul had returned a single lifetime later, in 1910, that muddy town would have exploded to become the city of Chicago. And amid the cars and electric lights and telephone poles, where powerful electric charges were led whirling along at immense velocities, our time-voyaging proconsul would have been utterly startled. This second generation of transformations was begun by individual inventors such as Bell. But as the 1870s went on, an increasing number of discoveries were made by larger groups of researchers, working in a new style of industrial research laboratory. They were the ones who produced the generators and streetcars and motors and lighting systems that created modern Chicago and other great metropolises around the world. Running these big research labs required a different personality than that of the gentle Alec Bell. The new research directors had to understand electricity, of course, but they also had to be willing to work on assignment and not worry too much about what those assignments were. Thomas Edison was the most powerful of these new industrial research chiefs, and one of his great successes came in 1877 when he accepted an important assignment to crush Bell. The world's largest telegraph company, Western Union, had been watching what Bell was doing, and even before his final model was ready, they tried to get him to leave a prototype overnight at their New York headquarters so they could examine it. Bell was a trusting man, but not that trusting. He kept the prototype secure in his own hotel room. Once he had his patent, more direct measures were needed, for who was going to let an upstart undercut a giant industry? Certainly not William Orton, head of Western Union. His strategy was almost embarrassingly simple. America after the Civil War was a violent place. Strikes were often resolved with rifles and dynamite. Patents were stolen. Fledgling investment houses were destroyed by established firms. It wasn't surprising that within the technology field, predators began to appear, generally bankrolled by rich financiers. When they identified a new electrical product, they would try to find a technological mercenary skilled enough to produce the same device using a slightly different process. The original inventor would be destroyed. The company that had arranged for the copy and the mercenary who produced it would become rich. Because Bell's telephone threatened to undermine the entire telegraph business, Orton had to go to the most skilled enforcer he knew. This was the young Thomas Edison, a man who, as Orton happily explained to a friend, had a vacuum where his conscience ought to be.